Do you want to be inspired by other brilliant business owners? Find out how and why they set their brilliant businesses up. Discover some of the triumphs and struggles they faced along the way. If so, then you are in the right place. Welcome to the Brilliant Businesses Podcast. We interview business owners to find out their story and journey as to how they set their businesses up. We believe that story is an important way of making their businesses shine, and we share those stories on this podcast. Keep building those brilliant businesses.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Brilliant Businesses podcast. My name is Nick Bryant, and I'm very pleased to be joined this morning by Rita Minhas Judd from RMJ Wellbeing. Morning, Rita.
Morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Thanks for coming in. So, a little bit about RMJ Wellbeing. Now, Rita is a qualified mental health workplace first aider. She also is an NLP wellbeing therapist, delivering therapy, helping people with all sorts of different things like anxiety, depression, bereavement, pet bereavement, lack of confidence and self-worth. She helps people with trauma and general unhappiness and a lack of fulfillment. I want to start the interview off, Rita, by you telling us about your background and what's led you to doing what you're doing. So take it away.
Right. Okay. So we're going back to when I was in secondary school. It was an all-girls school, and unfortunately, I was racially bullied for the whole of the 6 years that I was there. It was never to my face. It was always as I was walking into a room or walking out of a room. You know, there were expletives like smelly, packy, curry girl, those sorts of thing. Coming from an Asian background, my parents were never really into the emotional, mental health side of stuff. So I just thought, innocently, as soon as I leave school, I'm out of that environment, everything will just fall into place and, you know, everything will be fine.
Yeah. But
I really struggled with my mental health when I left because I was so angry that they'd done that to me and the injustice of it. And, you know, I can't help being the colour that I am,
of course,
you know.
Yeah.
And so when I was at school, I actually wanted to be white because I just thought if I'm white, then they'll accept me and, you know, everything will just be fine. But, you know, I just struggled for a lot of time when I left school with confidence, with, you know, the colour of my skin, with being Asian. There were so many mental health restrictions that I had on myself purely because I was just struggling.
Yeah.
Because of what had happened to me.
That's outrageous. Children can be nasty, can't they?
Yeah, it just takes one innocent comment, Nick, and that can actually implode on your whole life.
And this is a big part of what you do, isn't it? About reaching back to people's childhoods to help them going forward.
Yes. So whenever I do a therapy session, I always start with their past. It's always 9 times out of 10, it's something linked to something that's happened in their past that's literally manifested into them becoming the adult and them still keeping that behavior.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I always take it back to childhood.
Okay. How long have you been doing this part of it then, the actual RMJ Wellbeing?
5 years now.
Okay.
It'll be 5 years in September.
Yeah. Because you obviously did lots of training before then and took to get where you are. And
I used to work for Mercedes-Benz. I did all things to do with customer service related.
Okay.
So I just, it was nice because you give people good customer service and it was brilliant. But when you were asking them, because I then went on to train, do a customer service training qualification.
Yeah.
And so when I was training people, they were brilliant at the time, but then they would, you know, go back to how they were before. And that was because they hadn't dealt with things from their past and their mental health wasn't in a good state. So you're never going to get good customer service from somebody who isn't in a good place themselves mentally, because mental health doesn't just affect one area of your life. It's not just about workplace. It affects the whole of your being.
Yeah. And everyone around you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really important. Let's just talk about where you work from and the locations and maybe where people can come from to come and see you.
Okay, so I'm actually based in London, in southwest London, in Earlsfield. I have an office there in my home, but I also work down in Eastbourne twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
And I've got two offices, one here in Chamber House and also at the Grand Hotel in their spa and health club.
Yeah. That's a good... That's a good location at the ground,
yes,
isn't it? Because
it is.
Very discreet.
Absolutely.
And a little door down some corridors, and no one would know because they think you're going into a hotel.
Absolutely.
Which brings me on to my next point, which is I think people are embarrassed about therapy.
Yeah.
And what's your take on that?
There's still a stigma attached to it. As I said, coming from an Asian background, my parents never sat me down and we never talked about how you're feeling today, how's your emotions, you know, what's going on with you. It was very much, if you've got a problem, you deal with it and just get on with it. Mm. And for many years, my whole outlook on life was there is no such thing as mental health or depression or anxiety. You just have to crack on with it and just get on with life. Whereas obviously the older I've got, the therapy that I've had, the job that I now do, I just realise how important mental health is. Yeah. And that the stigma attached to it is people still think that if you're having therapy, there must be something wrong with you.
That's it. Yeah, they do, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the older generation. But saying that, during COVID, I actually had clients that were between the ages of 60 to 80. So people were struggling with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is still a stigma attached to it. I mean, in America, it's everyone has it.
It's fashionable.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's like, you know, if you're not having therapy, it's like, well, what's wrong with you? Mm. Whereas here, there is still the stiff British upper lip,
isn't it?
That you don't need therapy, you'll be absolutely fine.
Mm.
And people aren't living their best life. And that's my aim, to get people to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of therapy, and you know, it can completely change the way they see things, the way they live their life, the way they speak to other people, the way their work is, their relationships. It's amazing, really, that people don't see it that way. So let's hopefully, you know, we can change that. Let's get more come to see you. I like the fact that you've got your offices in Eastbourne, because you also do like a walk in therapy session where you can just, you know, walk along and chat. That's nice.
Yes. Yeah. So I have no restrictions for anybody that wants to have therapy. So I offer a free 90-minute non-committal therapy session to anybody that wants it.
Yeah.
So we have the option of the in-person, you could do a walk and talk, and you could also do online.
Yeah.
So there is no barrier there for somebody that says, oh, well, I don't really want to come and see you. You've got the option of doing it online, or you know what, I don't want to be in a confined environment, we'll do the walk and talk. So there's always different options, because I think everybody's got a voice and everybody needs to be heard.
Yeah. And then those different options, it's almost like they can't get out of it, because you can give them every option, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's their opportunity to be able to say how they're feeling. They could just come in, Nick, for that 90 minutes and just offload.
Yeah.
And I might never see them again, but you know what? I listened to them and they were able to release whatever emotions they were feeling at the time.
Mm.
So for me, I always offer that, because I just think everybody has that opportunity, whether it is just a one-off offloading, whether it's something that they want to continue with me and do the therapy journey. It's their opportunity to talk about how they're feeling.
Yeah. Is offloading, that's a big part of it, that, as in, that makes you feel better?
Yeah.
Is it to a human being that's got all these problems or whatever in their head, to just offload that to someone that's not in their family, that's not a friend to you, is golden, isn't it? I think it's good.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Because when you're offloading, you're releasing, aren't you? So what happens is, when you're not in a positive state and you're feeling, you know, mentally exhausted for whatever reason, all those emotions and feelings and issues of trauma that you've got going on, they all roll into one.
Yeah.
So you can't literally see the wood for the trees. Mm. So what I do is, the way I work is that we unpack all those bits of trauma and we deal with them bit by bit. So when you've had the initial complimentary therapy session for me, if you continue the therapy journey with me, you literally, every week, we talk about an individual of your family.
Okay.
So the first one would be your mother, second one father, third one siblings, fourth one is normally relationships, fifth is friendships, and sixth is work.
Okay.
So literally, as you come to me, you come with a backpack full of bricks, and each of those bricks is represented by an emotion.
Yeah.
And then every time we see one another, we literally look at that, we deal with it, and we chuck it. So literally, as you continue your journey with me, you're literally lightening your load.
That's nice. That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
And then you go on from that, don't you? Do coaching afterwards.
Yeah. So some people, some clients I've seen have actually done the emotive journey, which is talking about about their emotions and feelings and stuff like that. And they've come back to me and said to me, do you know what? I'm still struggling with my confidence level or my own self-worth. Mm. So that is more life skills. That's more about goal settings. That's more about giving them the aspirations that they need to get them where they want to, where they actually want to go.
Yeah.
That isn't just about the emotive side of it.
Yeah.
It's more the coaching and sort of giving them a reflection upon themselves and saying, right, okay, look at what you've achieved, look how far you've come, and just sort of giving them that coaching so that they know that they're worthy and they can get to where they want to be.
Yeah, because it's all very well offloading, and that's really important, but it's what you do with that off, you know, once you've offloaded it, and how you can then help yourself moving forward and put things in place to make your life better, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And that's what you do.
Yeah, because, you know, you can come to me for that one session and think, great, do you know what, I feel better, but that's going to be a temporary state. Because you haven't, even though you've offloaded, you've not processed all those issues that you've spoken about.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's important moving forward. And also, you do retreats as well, only at the Grand.
Yes, yep, they're all at the Grand Hotel in Eastbourne. Mm. Yes, and I do them normally twice a year now.
Yeah,
maximum of 6 people on them.
Okay,
and it's literally a restriction of 6 people. And the reason being for that is I want everyone to have one-to-one time with me.
Right.
You know, many people have said to me, "Oh, Rita, why don't you sort of make it more commercial and have 20, 30 people?" I want to make it as intimate as possible, so everyone has one-to-one time with me. So they have a selection of a one-to-one yoga session, a one-to-one complimentary therapy session walking along the seafront with me.
Yeah.
There's a lady that will talk to them about their nutritional stuff. There's spa treatments. Nice. They also get to use the health club and spa.
Yeah.
So it's a full day. Lunch is provided. They get a goodie bag to take away with them. There's normally a little couple of mini talks as well, related to mental health as well.
Okay.
So it's a brilliant day.
Have you got any of those coming up?
Yes, the next one actually is in 2 weeks' time.
Okay.
And then after that, the next one is in September.
Nice. And details of those are on your website?
Yes, they are. And I've actually just released dates for 2025 as well.
Perfect. I guess they get booked up quite quickly if it's just 6 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'd also work with couples, relationship stuff?
I do couples therapy. Yeah, so what I tend to do, the only rule I have whenever I do couples therapy is that you allow one person to speak at a time. You're not there to argue with one another. You're not there to have a slanging match with one another. You're there. So one person speaks, you allow that person to speak, then the next second person speaks. Ironically enough, I've just had at the weekend, I had a couple of that came to me, but they'd only booked it as one session.
Okay.
So they both came in and it was evident they both had issues of their own, irrelevant of their relationship. So I had to say to them, right, we'll have this session, but you both need to come and see me individually as well, so that we can talk stuff through. And as it was, they both came and saw me over the weekend individually as well. And I was right. They both had their own issues and concerns from childhood that they haven't actually addressed themselves. And that was impacting on their relationship.
Right. So they had to take all those bricks out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before their relationship can move forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. I suspect that's probably quite usual that happens, because if the relationship isn't working, it's usually down to one person or the other's background or their childhood or something that's happened to them in a previous relationship that has to be solved before they can move forward with their existing relationship.
Absolutely, because otherwise they're just going into the same pattern over and over again. If somebody, for example, if somebody's cheated on somebody, that person is going into that next relationship thinking, well, this person's going to do it again for me. Whereas it doesn't necessarily have to be like that. You know, things change, people change. No two people are the same. Everyone's an individual.
Yeah.
So your ex-partner might not be, you know, the same as your current partner.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, that's true. And you've won lots of awards. Let's talk about the awards. Let's put a big smile on your face.
Right, well, yes, I have won a few awards.
Yes.
I've won the Wandsworth Business Awards last year for health and wellbeing.
Yeah.
I was highly commended for the Eastbourne Business Awards this year. I've also won for the third year Prestige Awards for Counselling Service of the Year for London and South East England.
Wow, that's a massive award, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many people went in for that, do you know?
This year there were 33 people just in my category.
Right.
And then they shortlisted it down to 10 people.
Yeah.
And they said for the first time ever, somebody's won an award for the third year running.
That's nice, isn't it?
So, yeah, and I've been shortlisted again for the Wandsworth Business Awards this year as well.
Well done. That's
Thank
brilliant.
You.
That's a testament to your work, your good work, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely to know.
What's What do you like about it most? What do you enjoy about what you do?
I watch people come to me that are sometimes mentally broken, and within a few sessions, you see them get that glint back in their eye and they have that hope.
Yes.
They know that, you know what, there's going to be a difference.
It's going to be all right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that, for me, is one of the most fulfilling things I can ever do.
Yeah.
I remember a client once came to me and she said to me, Rita, I came to you as a victim and I'm leaving you as an empowered woman.
Excellent.
And it literally just blew my mind because, you know what, for me, I felt that, you know what, I made things right for her.
Mm.
And that's what I love about my job. I don't want people, Nick, to go through what I went through mentally.
Of course.
I want everyone to be able to live their best life. And hence the reason why I offer the complimentary session, because, you know what, it's your opportunity to come and talk to me.
Yeah, yeah, and it's life-changing. I love it.
I absolutely love what I do.
Yeah. What do you think the future holds for mental health? And it's so in the forefront of our lives now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think since COVID, it's become more paramount. Mm. I think more and more people now are open to it and more people are realising, you know what, we got through COVID. We're fine now, but they're not. So those people during COVID that were living alone, that were in their own environment, that were working from home, that were just looking at a screen every day, what happens is if they had mental health concerns anyway, they are normally like just sort of suppressed more than anything else. But during COVID, because there was such a long period of time, people were on their own, those emotions and feelings start coming to the surface.
Okay.
So once Pandora's box opens, it's hard to put a lid on it.
Right.
So that they then start defining themselves by those emotions that they're feeling. So every time they're feeling something, they can't push it back down because it's there. Mm. And so they start defining themselves by it.
Wow.
And by doing that, what they're actually doing is they're believing that that is their truth.
Right. And
until they process it and have some form of counselling or therapy, they're going to continue believing that that is what life is about.
Yeah, that's like they program their mind in the bad time to that it's always going to be that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, right, okay. And there's all those people that are going through COVID that are probably, you know, that, maybe not even realising that at the moment as
no.
well.
I think, as I said, I think definitely during COVID, it really did highlight things for a lot of people.
Mm.
And I think they realised, you know what? Something's not right. And so a lot of people were naive to think, oh, you know, once COVID's over and done with, we'll go back to normal, I'll go back to work and everything will be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But because day in, day out, they've had those emotions and feelings running around in their head, when they've gone back to work to a normal environment, to them, they think, oh, we'll be fine. But they're still struggling, but they can't work out why.
Mm.
And it's because those emotions that they've suppressed for years and years and years have become their truth. Because if you think about it, the emotions that they're feeling today are the same ones they were feeling yesterday, the ones that they were feeling the day before. And so that pattern's just continued.
Yeah.
And as humans, we're very habitual anyway. So once we form a habit, that habit's formed and it's there with us for however long necessary until we actually challenge it and say, right, okay, do you know what? I don't want to be this way anymore.
Yeah.
And that's why when I do the therapy, I challenge people. So when someone says to me, oh, Rita, I'm feeling like this. Why are you feeling like that? Tell me about it. Let's drill down and work out why you're feeling the emotion you're feeling. Because nobody wakes up one morning and decides to be depressed or anxious.
No.
It's formed from somewhere. It's manifested from somewhere.
Mm. You talked about the workplace, and I think with COVID, you go into workplaces and help businesses with their staff.
Yes, I do.
That are suffering, don't you?
Yeah. So what I do is I can either do it on an individual one-to-one basis, or I do it as a group therapy. So you normally have the maximum of four people, and we just talk about how to respect, you know, your own mental health, your colleagues' mental health, things to do with what happened during COVID.
Yeah.
You know, look out for your members of staff as well. So if you see a member of staff struggling, it shouldn't be that you jump on them and say, like, why aren't you doing your work properly? It's more about just asking them a question. Are you okay?
Yeah.
How are you today?
Mm.
Because people that were struggling during COVID are obviously insecure from the point of view that they think maybe they're going to lose their job. So they don't want to rock the boat at work,
okay.
do they?
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, there's so many people with the unemployment rates at the moment.
Mm.
So people are thinking, oh, I better not say anything. But they're struggling in silence.
Mm.
So when their bosses are saying, well, right, okay, why hasn't that work been done? Or why haven't they turned up on time? Or why are they late? Or whatever.
Mm.
If that's not in their nature normally, and then all of a sudden you see a downslide of their, you know, their attitude, there's something going on.
there's something wrong there.
And you need to address it in a compassionate way rather than giving them a written warning or, you know, firing them or, you know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's almost like the employer needs a lot of training as well to address it in the right way. Yeah. You know, it's probably a big HR issue which people need to deal with.
Yeah, and it's just about acknowledging it and recognising it that, you know, if a member of staff is always punctual and all of a sudden they're turning up late for work, why? Mm. Why are they turning up late? What's going on with them? Mm. Or, you know, they're looking dishevelled or they're not looking very happy or their work rate is dropped or, you know, whatever's going on, there's always a reason behind it. Nobody just wakes up one morning and just says, oh, do you know what, today I don't think I'm going to work as hard as I would normally work.
Yeah.
There's obviously something manifested that's happened in their life that's had that knock-on effect.
Yeah. It's realisation as well, which is part of the problem, I think. People just don't realise that there is something that's happened that's making them feel that way.
Yeah.
Which sort of hammers home that your approach to therapy, which is making people aware that even if they feel like they don't need it, sometimes they do need it.
Yeah.
And I think we need to raise the awareness of that, don't we?
Yeah. I also think, Nick, I find that a lot of clients that come to me at breaking point.
Right, yeah.
Rather than come and see me when they first of all think, do you know what? I've not been feeling great for a couple of weeks. Let me just go and check in with somebody.
Yes.
And as I said, hence the reason why the free option is there for you.
Yeah.
You know, you might come to me and it might be that within a couple of sessions, you're good to go.
Mm.
But at least you've actually done the right thing and spoken to somebody about it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be frightened to do that.
Absolutely
not. Don't be frightened to do that. So I think if there's anyone out there that is feeling that way or just wants a nice 90-minute chat with Rita because it's a good chat or an offload or anything like that, then please do get in touch with her. They can get in touch with you via your website.
Yes, they can.
Yeah,
all the options are on there. All the booking links are all on there.
And they can book on there online, can't they?
Yes, they can, yeah. It's only the free sessions that are all online now to book.
Okay.
Any follow-up sessions, I check in with any client I have after a couple of days of having the session just to make sure they're in an okay place.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you've had therapy...
It brings it all out, right?
Yeah, and you've spoken about stuff that you haven't normally spoken about. For the first couple of days, your emotions might be up and down.
Yeah.
So I normally check in with them on day two, day three, just to see how they're doing. And if they want to follow up with me, for their convenience, on their behalf, I will book the sessions for any follow-up sessions. I'll book them for them.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. So that's good to know, everyone. Well, thanks, Rita. It's been really lovely talking to you.
Lovely to talking to you as well.
I find this stuff fascinating. So it's really interesting. I think everyone should do more of it because it just make the world a better place, I think.
It really would,
So thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you all for another podcast soon.
Thank you very much.